following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to turn 109 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast based on the Blizzard game Hearthstone. I said it right this week. Here in the studio is me and Autumn Zane.
The Medic tournament is less entertaining than the Grand tournament.
How about Tournament Medic?
Ding, ding, ding. You got one right.
Oh my god.
Vesic, you did something right.
Well?
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were still there. I thought there was a lag or something. A tournament medic, which I have in gold. It's pretty awesome looking. Forecasting cost. Common, you know, white gem. 1-8. 1 attack, 8 health. Inspire. Restore 2 health to your hero.
I see. It is a good card, indeed.
Well,
what do you think?
It's too good, and 2 days in a row. It hurt me. In fact, today, I had a mage down to just 1 health. 1 health as I was bashing it with my hunter. But guess what it has out? It's got a tournament medic, and it's got a Caldera Drake. Now, you know what the Caldera Drake
See,
does.
You told me combat medic. You meant tournament medic.
I meant tournament medic. Because I don't think there's a combat medic in the game.
Yeah, okay.
So, the Caldera Drake lets you use your hero power as often as you want to, and Inspire gives you a benefit each time you use your hero power. So while I had him down to 1, he then used, it was on turn 10, he used his hero power 5 times to get 10 health back.
Oh my god.
Suddenly, he's got 11 health.
Ouch.
And then he kicked my ass.
Ouch.
And
so, you know,
yesterday I saw this combo too. So this seems to be all the rage in the new mage decks, because all of a sudden it's popping up, and it's in the same decks that have the Flame Wakers and all of that. I'm dreading seeing mages now.
Well, here's another thing. Put it in with a priest who has a +2 to heal, and every time they inspire, they'd be
then
a
+4.
Kind of like the special power when the warrior gets Justicar True Heart, doubles his shield, so suddenly he's getting 4 to pop.
Oh, imagine if Justicar True Heart had been played earlier. He'd be like impossible
getting
to kill.
6 a turn. Yeah, that's an ouchy card.
Yeah, and it's got an 8 health, which makes it damn near impossible to kill. And the Caldera Drake is 6-6, so it's no slouch either.
Nope. Yeah, that's a pretty deadly con. Not a deadly condemnation. It's hard to kill.
The opposite?
Yeah, it's a healing combination. So, speaking about healing combinations, having nothing to do with healing, but Wintervale. I'm sorry, I'm excited. I love this time of year. Starting October 31st on, I mean, man, just the best few months ever.
Yeah, so Blizzard's taking advantage of that this week with all of its games, right?
Oh my gosh. We've got, because, well, the Wintervale actually starts, well, it says started 12/9 to 1/6, but things are coming out little by little. Like the 2 boards, I've seen the boards come out. And I've been playing in the snow on them. And I realized when I emote Happy Feast of Wintervale, it's a lot more pleasant than greetings.
And of course,
it's a nice
seasonal
greeting. But the thing is like when I'm using that and I've like did a well played at the end of the game, I'll do well played. And then I'll do Happy Feast of Wintervale. And to me, that's not me. Like, sometimes somebody will say well played at the end of the game, and you don't know if they're complimenting you or the fact that they've done really well and they're kind of preening their feathers.
So you end with the seasonal greeting instead.
I end with the seasonal greeting as if to say, you know, that was fun. Thank you. Goodbye. And I wish they had something like that.
Well, you notice.
Because it's hard to misconstrue.
They had to get all of those actors to record that one line.
Ouch. Yes. Well, it might not only be that one line either. Because they're going to be unveiling. Get it? Unveil.
Winter unveiling.
Winter unveiling. They're going to be unveiling some other things during the next couple of weeks. Tomorrow, other things are coming up. We don't even know what they are yet. So for us, we have a bundle, which I think is kind of silly for us older players. Bundle up for Wintervale is basically the classic cards. What is it, 50 for $49.99?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But I, you know...
And we got
like
a little
so many...
message in Hearthstone with the sale showing. In fact, I tweeted it.
Yep. But for anybody who's been playing for a long, long time... I would be spending $50 if I was going to spend money. I would be spending money on the newer decks.
And unless you just want to buy packets of dust.
I guess.
But that's what it is at this point, a packet of dust.
No. There are still cards out there that I don't have from Classic.
Oh, yeah. There's a few legendaries I don't have.
Yep.
I don't get them. I just get dust.
Right. So if you look at it that way, if you want to buy cards, you can dust. Yeah, that would work. But I mean, it's good for new players. Let's not really put a kibosh on this.
It's phenomenal.
It is excellent for new players. Anybody just starting out, this is a great Christmas present for them or holiday present for them. 50 packs for the $49.99.
You know what's funny though?
What?
It's like, okay, let's clear the shelves of the old stock by putting it on sale. But it's electronic. They don't have packs of cards sitting on the shelf. So why not extend a sale to all of the cards, because they know they can get full price for those.
Well, yeah, and there's some, you know, people complaining about it, obviously, on the forums, as always. But it says, you know, it does say, whether you're an experienced veteran or just discovered Hearthstone, this is a great opportunity to fill the gaps of your classic card collection or grab some arcane dust to craft the cards you really want for Wintervale. So they're even saying in there that, you know, if you're a veteran and you've got a lot of the cards... You can get a ton of cards for $49.99 and dust them. Just dust them. So that's all we know so far.
So it's 50 packs for $50, 70 packs for $70.
Did you see that? I didn't see that.
So it's I'm just looking in the shop.
Ah.
So I think the 70 for 70 is the normal price, but that's a lot of money to spend. So the $50 batch, I think, is usually 30 cards. No. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't make sense because it's 15 packs for 20. I don't know. I forgot what they cost because I haven't bought them.
Because we don't buy
them.
You're true. But anyway, if you're interested, you can get 50 classic packs for $49.99, whether to dust it or enhance your collection and hope to get the ones you don't have. Or if you're a new player, it's awesome for that. It's a good price, good amount of cards, lots of fun. I always say when I'm opening new packs, that it's like opening Christmas presents. So any time of the year, I feel like I'm opening presents when I open packs, spend my little 100 gold.
We get more than just the sale for Winter's Vale, though, for Hearthstone. We're going to have a whole slew of brawls.
Right.
And we'll get a new card back by playing in them.
Right.
But I haven't seen any details for exactly when.
No,
I
they're think, super I, secret.
I think tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think tomorrow is when they said that the stuff's going to begin. So.
And then, of course, the brawl starts on Wednesday, so we won't see that quite. So that's awesome. Speaking of brawls, nope, too soon. Too soon! Let's
too
talk
soon,
about Hots.
My pet.
Hots.
Heroes of the Storm, also having promotions.
Yes, now, Raynor's Vulture Mount is not a Wintervale thing, but we wanted to talk to people about that. They are doing a Recruit a Friend for Heroes of the Storm, and you can get Raynor's Vulture Mount, which isn't a bird, it's a motorcycle.
And the nerd rage abounds.
Oh my god, so much rage. Because people who have been playing for a long time, and the same goes with Warcraft 2 at this point, people who have been playing for a long time have already recruited all their friends to play. So it makes it very, very difficult to get people to play when so many people are already playing. And if you're really hardcore about it, you've already had your friends starting to play.
And so people are gaming the system. People are making multiple accounts and recruiting themselves.
Yeah, and that's not something Blizzard wanted them to do, but people are doing it because they feel that's their only recourse.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything explicit in the user agreement that actually prevents you from having more than one account. It's just, there'll be dead accounts. So, as someone pointed out this week, that really is going to screw with the environment of the game. Because you're going to go in there and you're going to find people who are just kind of fake leveling and not really playing. Or they're going to seem like they're going to be mixed in. The MMR is going to put them in with beginners because they're under level 10.
Right.
But really they're highly experienced players playing them. So they're going to kick the butts of all the new people. It's just all around, it's crazy. And I'm sure they're going to make it for sale at some point to try to appease the people who didn't get it. But now it's just, you know, a poorly implemented idea.
Yeah, I still want to say there's another poorly implemented idea.
Same here. Ringo in the chat room says, I wish I had friends. So do I.
Aw, Ringo.
Oh, that's and right. I think the Cho'Gall thing ended today, the quest.
I still have never played it.
Yeah, I think the quest for gold, I'm going to go in and find my half-done quest probably gone. But I think you're still able to get Cho'Gall by playing with someone else, but I think they took the quest away.
Lunara, is going to be released soon too. They mentioned it again, so I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow, because they're doing maintenance tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow she showed up.
Oh. That's already been confirmed by our spawn. That's where I get my Heroes of the Storm news from, our kid.
And the Cho'Gall thing is still going on. The special event, win 4 games as Cho'Gall with partners who don't own him, you get 2,200 gold. That is still going on.
Okay, I thought it ended. Okay.
It might end tomorrow because of the, you know, the reset and everything.
Okay, and Warcraft's Winter Veil, which starts in like 2 days, is probably going to be the same thing it is every year. Go kill
with
the
maybe
Grinch.
A new present under the tree.
Yeah, go kill the Grinch.
I don't think they had new presents last. Yes, they did. They always have new toys.
They always have new toys. They'll go rescue Mets and the reindeer and all of that kind of stuff. But yep. It's always fun to wake up Christmas
Lob
morning.
Lob snowballs at people.
And go open your presents virtually in Ironforge.
And now they've changed it so that I think you can get around the people who are sitting there on their mounts. And you can still click and open the buttons for people who are, you know, being idiots.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think they fixed it so that you can actually still own, you know, open up presents. I hope they did. But I'm thinking last year they didn't have a special present for level 90, so maybe they will this year. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't think there's any Winter Veil in Sanctuary for those Diablo players, and I don't think there's any Winter Veil for StarCraft. Although they do have a new set of Nova adventures you could buy, so StarCraft also has something new going on. But back to Hearthstone, I think we've talked
back
enough about the other games.
Yep, that's about enough for the news. We have an ongoing theme of clobbering time. Once again, we had Encounter at the Crossroads. Did you play?
Yeah, I played. And I really don't like that one. I think.
But you don't have to make your own deck.
Right. So this is one of the few that I'm happy that I don't have to make my own pack, but I don't really find it all that enjoyable. It's another big RNG fest.
Here's what I did.
But I this is what I like it for. I don't like it for me personally. I like it for new players who do not have good card collections because they get to play with a wide variety of cards that they may never have seen before. So, Blizzard, keep the brawl in the game for the new players. But I've been playing it long enough that it no longer makes me happy.
It makes me happy. You want to know why?
Go ahead, tell us.
Okay. I had gotten the quest to do win 5 brawls. I also had a quest to win 5 as a mage, or 3 as a mage. So, you know, I just played in the brawl and won my 3 as a mage. So then I was up at 3 and, you know, 3 wins, needed 2 more. And I decided to do decks that I don't have room for. I don't have a warrior deck. So I was just in the mood to try something different. So I just played with their warrior deck. And then I played with their druid deck. Again, another deck that I don't have because I've
got... Did you win with either of them?
I did. I won, you know, I've won 7... I did 7, I don't know how many brawls I did, but I won 7 brawls this week. I finished my quest, and played a couple extras just for the fun of it. But I'm looking, you know, I've got 2 mage decks that I play a lot, mine and Dusty's. And then I have 1 box that I keep for when I'm trying out somebody else's deck, which I did play with somebody else's deck this week. We'll talk about that later. So that means that I have basically 2 spots that don't have a hero type, and those are the druid and the warrior. So by playing...
Same here, but with me it's priest and shaman.
Yep, but playing Encounter at the Crossroads, if I feel like goofing off on a warrior and not bothering my ranked, I mean, I can do that.
And that's something I hadn't considered. Learn how to play a class that you don't have a deck slot for.
Yep, right there. Give you ideas.
I still don't want to do it anymore.
It tests your mind because you're going to get cards that you don't expect, you know? You don't know what's coming up in your own decks. It's different. It's challenging. And you still want to...
What I did like is the joust mechanic actually worked in this one. Remember we had a brawl where the joust was always a tie? Mm-hmm. I forgot which one it was. This one, the jousts will actually joust.
They did.
And make sense.
They did. So I had fun. We still have to figure out how to get Ugly Brute to try it. And I'm hoping that maybe with Winter Veil being part of the brawl, maybe he'll actually play it a little bit if he has time to play this week or this month.
Maybe.
We haven't heard from our Down Under Brute.
I don't care, slacker.
All right, so onward to the Hall of Explorers, the final wing. I did play last week. I mean, this past week, I did get to do the last challenge. The third one, because I'm, you know, behind everybody because I just didn't have enough gold saved up. So I have to say, I had a lot of fun. Found it a little bit challenging. Once again, my shaman just took me from one side to the other. Had a little bit of difficulty. I think I did... No, actually, my shaman didn't do it completely. The third one, I think I switched from my shaman to a mage. So I had, out of the 3 in the wing, I one-shotted 2 of them, had to do a second one, and changed my deck and won that one. And then in the hero challenges, the same thing. I one-shotted, and then I had one that I had to do twice, just... I think the random number generator was kind of against me with one of them. So I had fun. I absolutely loved the wing.
However, that was a great wing.
That wing. However, the Hall of Explorers, I heard a lot of 4-letter words coming from your office.
Yeah.
But. Usually hear that.
One of them in particular was just hideous. Remember the last one? The problem is these solo adventures are so few and far between that I forget most of them by the time we review the next one. But there was one boss that I had to do like a gazillion times, and I kept losing and losing, and then Micmac said that he did it with the druid, so I went back and beat it with the druid in like 2 tries. I don't remember which one that was, but anyway, there was a boss in this wing just like it. I thought I was going to get through this entire solo adventure and not find anything I hated. But that didn't happen.
Oh, no.
So there was one that I really hated and one that I really enjoyed. And then the other I was kind of neutral on. But you want me to talk about it?
Yes, because I am unable to.
So you're going
to talk about the cards. But
I have to tell everybody that there's if you haven't done it yet and you want to be surprised, then you probably don't want to listen for the next 10 minutes because there's spoilers coming.
Yep,
spoiler
fast
alert,
forward.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Okay. So, Raphael, the ethereal, the guy that's been kind of a nuisance, he comes and he steals the staff. And he animates the exhibits in the hall and sets them against you. That's your bird that started that, by the way.
Well, sorry.
So, the first boss is called Skeletorus Rex.
Oh, no. Let me guess. You're being chased down the hall by a dinosaur.
Well, you're not chased down the hall, but you've been in Ironforge in the Hall of Explorers. So you've seen that giant Rex. Okay, so it's him. His hero power is to give each player a random card and it costs zero. So I played a hunter and it was RNG hell. Like I was getting crap, and on turn two he got Ronin. On turn five, he played Alexstrasza, which brought me to 15 health, which was weird because I was down to 14. But he gave me one health back, but then he had an 8-8 on the table. Then turn six, he got Cairn and then filled up the rest of his board, and I just conceded because I was getting crap.
And what was his hero power type thing?
Hero power. Give each player a random card, and it costs zero. So he's getting all these legendaries, Ronin, Alexstrasza, Cairn, etc., and they cost zero. So I was just getting my ass kicked, and I said, no, forget it. And I conceded. So I tried a mage. So now the tables have turned, because on turn two, I got a free Antonidas. And so I started filling my hand up with fireballs. And then on his turn four, I got a free Onyxia. So I was able to fill up my board with little dragons. So it was an easy win. But the easy win, the satisfaction of that, was thwarted by, you know, the loss on the first one. So it was just another one of those RNG things. It's whoever got luckier won, basically, is the way I felt that game was. So it was all right. This is the one I felt neutral about. The next one was called the Steel Sentinel. And never have I hated a boss more than this.
Have I heard more words coming from your office than this
I
one.
I sounded like you playing this one. Ah! He had a passive hero power that he could only take one damage at a time. I was a little vague on exactly what that meant. I thought I'd only be able to do one damage per turn, but it's a little more than that but I'll get to that in a moment. So he's essentially a warrior. He's getting any weapon in the game, all the good ones. Doomhammer, True Silver Champion, Arcanite Reaper. So he's doing that and bashing the crap out of me, where whatever damage I'm doing to him is minimal. So almost every minion had a taunt or a divine shield or both. Or
on his side.
Yeah. Or his minions gave his other minions divine shield, taunt, or both. So getting through his minions or being able to kill his minions was a real pain in the ass. And then I'd come over with, you know, maybe a minion that would normally do five, but no, it can only do one. He had a Tuskar, you know, the Tuskar that heals. I forgot the exact name of him. He did that twice. He called out a minimum of True Silver Champions, two True Silver Champions. He seemed to have more cards than me because we're down to fatigue. I was at fatigue 7 and ran, you know, so I'm out of cards for like 7 turns. Fatigue 7 before he ran out of cards.
Huh. And he wasn't making you draw anymore?
And he wasn't making me draw cards. So how in the world am I so short on cards when he still got cards left? And I do think he had more than two of certain cards. I could be wrong, but it was just horrible. So, of course, the game takes a long time to play because you've gone through your entire deck, gotten down to fatigue. I had a lot of armor. That's how I survived so long into fatigue. But I just couldn't get him. And then the fact that he healed on top of it. The True Silver Champion was healing him. The Tuskars were healing him. It was just hair-pulling. So I thought to myself, well, going with the warrior was definitely the bad choice. Let's try a mage. And I have heard subsequently that a lot of people are saying that mage is the way to go. So I guess I picked the right one for the second one. Because if I lost again, I probably wouldn't have played again. I barely beat him. And again, I was into fatigue when I did. But the Firewalkers and the... the Flamewalkers and the Fire Blast hero power helped a lot. Because the hero power does one, but that counts as one. And every time the Flamewalker hit him, each one was counted as a separate instance. So it's not like he's hitting the hero for two and only counting as one. It's hit for one, hit for another one. So arcane missiles were also good for that. Pop, pop, pop. They counted. Each missile counted. So that was definitely the way to go. So I didn't like him. In fact, I hated him. I swore. I slammed. I almost broke my computer. It really brought my temper out. And it was thoroughly unenjoyable. Now, having said that, players who really enjoy, you know, pushing their skill and their talent to beat a puzzle, they'll probably like this. I bet Micmac loved this.
Well, you know, Ringo in the chat room said he had a whole ton of Flamewakers come out because he had in his deck the Echo of Medivh, which is a forecast and cost, put a copy of each friendly minion into your hand. So if you've got two Flamewakers out, you suddenly have two more in your hand.
Plus, so he had duplicate, six Flamewakers.
Yep.
So say if you yet another duplicate. Person, who, yet another person who beat it with a mage. And that's one thing I don't like about these solo adventures. So often it comes down to one deck or one deck type or one hero class that you really need to beat it. And I'm not a fan of the this one answer that wins scenario. Yeah.
There's the concern too again of like with our spawn the Flamewaker. He doesn't have that. So
exactly.
he's got new cards and he'd be killed in this. He wouldn't have really the cards to do it.
Yeah, and we have said on the show in the past that one of the good things about solo adventures, in fact, we said it recently. Remember Ugly Brute was saying you get more bang for your buck out of these solo adventures?
Not the last one you went into.
Because technically you're getting free cards guaranteed. You're not. And remember when we did Wing 1, he was saying, I'd like to make it a little bit... I think our guest from the tournament was also on. And we were talking about, you know, maybe it should be just a little bit more challenging. Well, for people who thought that it should be more challenging without going into heroics, that's this. Because you're going to find, you beat the first wing in heroic, you're going to find this wing as difficult as the heroic wing was on the first one.
Well, I think they do that on purpose too, though. I think they have the starter up. Wings. Yeah.
And they should. And it should be harder. But I swear people
So let
just,
me let me get
they're,
this.
They're sadists.
Was he unable, because I haven't played it, and other people are probably going to ask the same question, was it you could only do one damage a turn or one damage each creature?
No, I clarified that. You can only do one damage at a time.
Okay.
So, if a magic missile hit for three missiles, that counted as three different times. But if I hit him with a fireball for six, it would still only do one. If I hit him for pyroblast for 10, I'd only do one.
Does one. Interesting.
I hit him with an 8-8
minion, so you want
minion,
a knife juggler?
It's just one.
You want a knife juggler, you want a flamewaker. I gotcha.
I had both in my winning deck. So, again, barely winning deck. The third fight, however, was much more fun. And this is where the spoiler alert comes in. So anybody who came back or is still there, if you don't want to be spoiled, really, hang up now.
I like being spoiled.
Okay, so we get Archthief Rafam, and there's a little role-playing there. All of the Explorers people are coming out and talking to us. You know, Elise and Murgle Gurgle or whatever the hell his name is. And it's kind of fun. It's like watching a scene. And first he makes a comment about your deck. It's like, oh, are you sure you want to use that deck? I'm like, okay, why is he saying that? Are they going to screw with my deck? Because I think we had a deck that got screwed with in another adventure. So then, when the game starts, he says, oh, I like your deck. I think I'll take it. And he takes my deck. And it was one of my better decks.
Oh, no.
So, Elise is like, well, here's a deck. And then, like, after a few minutes, they're like, oh, we're sorry, it's not that good. It's left over from a previous tournament. But I'm sure you'll make do. So now I had to play with this kind of crappy deck.
Against your own deck.
Against my best mage deck.
Oh my god.
And it was terrible.
That's so awesome.
It was awesome and terrible at the same time. So it was fun. It was like an April Fool's joke. Like, okay, joke's on me. So I went and I made the worst deck imaginable.
That's why you told me to do that.
A terrible deck that had no synergy, that had minions with like one health, whose special abilities wouldn't work on any of the other minions. It was just meant to be terrible. And
so what if you did like a deck that had everything casting cost was 10, so that he couldn't do anything the first bunch of rounds?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Despite the fact that I gave him a terrible deck to play, and I had, you know, whatever random crazy deck they gave me, let's take into account his hero power. His hero power this time around was add a random minion to your hand, and it costs 3 less. So it was kind of like a portal. In fact, the picture of the mage portal was there. So each turn he would use his hero power, he would get a minion in his hand that would be cheap. So even though he had my abysmally terrible deck, he was getting good minions every turn to put down. So I chose to use a mage, because even though he steals your deck, I don't think he screws with your hero power.
Okay.
Or did he? Did they turn me into a different hero?
They turned you into a newt?
Maybe they turned me into a paladin. Anyway, so he beat me, and I... He beat me, right. I'm just looking over my notes. He beat me with my good deck, and then I went and I won the second game. I don't know if I here it is. I'm sorry. So I made the mage so that I'd have the fire blast. That's what I did. So with all those one toughness minions, I was able to fire blast a lot of them away. And the portal kept giving him other minions, but I beat him anyway. So I was looking for more to the story, but I had already told the whole story. There's a fourth wing. You had a question?
Oh, go ahead.
Fourth boss. And this is where I started to get confused in my notes, because I forgot you face him twice. The last one was called Rafam Unleashed. His hero power, immune while the staff charges. Then after, so the staff...
Right, because he steals the staff of...
Right. Okay. But the staff is charging. And, you know, Elise and the other explorers are coming out and saying, you know, get ready, the staff is almost charged. So while he was charging the staff, he was immune. So you use this time to kind of build up your board, right? And then the staff would make him vulnerable. And I'd just go at him with everything. And this was actually the most fun and the most clever of all of them. I one-shotted him with a face hunter because I figured if he was going to be tied up and only have this one window where I could hurt him, I wanted to be able to burst. So I used a face hunter and I beat him. But this one was fun because... It was, you had to strategize, like in a chess game or something, or a poker game.
You're racing against the clock, too.
Yeah, but it's timing, and there's some thought involved. It wasn't just an RNG thing. But it wasn't so hard a puzzle like the Sentinel one that it just drove me crazy. So There you go. So one boss I kind of felt neutral about, one I hated, one I liked, and I think the other one was... So I think most of the wing was actually okay. Now that I look at it with a few days of calming down, most of the wing was okay. But that one boss, I hate it. And if I was thinking about going into heroic with this, it changed my mind. There's no way I'm going to face this guy on heroic. But we had two more classes that we didn't get hero challenges from last week. And those were taken care of. And those were the mage and the rogue. So I tried the mage. Took me two attempts, but I won them.
Why did you fight against?
Why did it take me two attempts? Because it was against the Steel Sentinel.
Oh.
So that was not fun. So even... I said that most people were playing with the mage to beat him. And ironically, that's what they use for the mage challenge. So that was clearly designed to be beaten by a mage. The rogue challenge was against Skeletorus. I one-shotted that. There was really nothing special about that deck. It was pretty easy, classic rogue deck. Not like some of the other adventures. Like early on, I don't remember if it was Nax. Remember there was a hero challenge that was like a rogue, but there was like nothing roguey about it. I think it was Nax. The rogue challenge in Nax was pitiful. It wasn't even like you were playing a rogue. But this one, they actually had rogue cards, so it was pretty fun.
I am still looking forward to playing this, and I'm, with time, hopefully, the holidays, I'll have some extra days I can actually sit down. I still want to do all of the heroics, too, and get me my cool card back.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting. In the brawl this week, when I played as a hunter, I actually got a secret that, well, maybe... I don't remember how it happened, but I wound up getting one of the cards that we talked about. We didn't talk about last week. We have three cards to discuss from last week, and one of them was Dart Trap. And I got that card, and I was like, I like this card. And I believe I got it because I was doing the encounter at the crossroads. I don't think it was a random secret that I got. I don't think that's possible. So anyway, Dart Trap is a two-casting
card. You probably got it from one of the minions that lets you pick one of three cards.
It could have been a Discover. Yes, yeah. It was a Discover.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Oh, it was awesome. And Dart Trap, the secret, when an opposing hero power is used, deal 5 damage to a random enemy. So I like pinged off the ones I didn't want, had that secret up, and I knew he was going to go for me because he was a hunter as well. It was a hunter against a hunter. So I knew he was going to go for me. So I just like sat back and said, I can't wait till he goes because he's going to obliterate his other character. And it did. But you know what? You have to wait on this particular secret. It's an excellent secret, but you don't want to throw it out right away. You want to hold it until it's really going to work for your advantage. So that's what I think of this card. What do you think of the card?
I was playing around with my hunter deck earlier today, not my face hunter, but the other one. And, I said, let me put something from the new adventures in there because I really hadn't touched it since the grand tournament. And I put Elise in there. I took out the Maiden of the Lake, which is not proving to be as valuable as I had hoped it would be. And since Elise was the same casting cost, I just swapped those two out. And I considered swapping out one of my bear traps for the dart trap. But it's like, it does 5 to a random. I have no choice on it. And I'm facing a lot of totem decks and paladin silver hand knight decks and murloc decks. And 5 is just overkill to take out a 1/1. So... I didn't do it because just the RNG factor bothers me a little bit. And I liked the traps I was using, the secrets I was using. So I wasn't sure. I didn't want to replace it with a minion. I mean, replace a minion with it. And I didn't want to take out one of my other traps that I like and depend on. So it ended up not going in. Now, that doesn't mean I won't put it in future iterations of my decks. But that... 5 damage is wonderful, but the fact that it's random is just not enough to make me love
it. Maybe I got lucky, but it did serve me well because I was able to get it so he only had the one creature out there, and I knew he was going to go over the head of everything else to shoot me in the face.
If you could time it right, then that's fine.
Yep. So, you want to do the next one, the Everything? Everything is awesome.
Oh, we're doing last week's cards.
Yep, we're only doing the 3 from last week. Then we're going to move on and we'll do the this week's next week. Yeah, right.
Okay, so Everything is just
Everything
tell me
is Everything is awesome. Neutral? Awesome. It's a shaman card.
All right, let me go to shaman here. Everything is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
7 casting costs. Ouch. Give your minions +2/+2. Cost 1 less for each Murloc you control. Well,
you don't play Murlocs.
If you're playing a Shaman Murloc deck, if I was playing a Shaman Murloc deck, I would have this in. Because let's say I'm gonna have 5 Murlocs on the board. I'm gonna play this for 2, and they're all gonna get +2/+2. Of course, I'm gonna use this card. Because Everything is awesome.
Yeah, but you know what? Shaman's all about the totems. And I play the Shaman a lot, and everybody knows I don't particularly like the Murloc decks. But yeah, but it's the Warlocks that do the Murloc decks, so why isn't this a Warlock card?
No, because there's lots of Shaman Murlocs now. What about the Legendary that gives the Murlocs, the 3 Murlocs that you love so much? What was his name? Was it Neptulon that did that? I think it was Neptulon.
That I love that much?
No, I'm saying it was Neptulon that gives the Murlocs.
I'm a looking. Neptulon, I don't have it. It's a shaman card. Yeah, battle cries add 4 random Murlocs to your hand. Maybe because I don't have the card.
Yeah.
Maybe if I had Neptulon, I would then see more of a reason to make a Murloc shaman deck.
Yeah, so that came out during Goblins versus Gnomes, and that's when we first started seeing shamans playing Murlocs, really, because of him. So they're just carrying on with that.
Yeah, that could be it.
If I were playing shaman, which I'm not, and I was playing that shaman as a Murloc deck, which I'm not, I would put that card in.
Right.
But
it wouldn't do anything for me. It is very limited use.
Yep. But that limited use, I think, is very good.
Yeah. The next card is Entomb. It's a common. Well, it really doesn't matter because you get them all anyway by playing the wing.
The commonality matters for Arena. You can't craft these uncraftable cards.
But I'm just being a doofus. I do that from time to time. You have to agree with me.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have to agree.
Oh, I thought you said I had to agree.
No, you didn't. Anyway, it's a 6 casting cost. Entomb. Choose an enemy minion and shuffle it into your deck.
You didn't mention it's a priest card.
It's a priest card. What else is it going to be? They're always stealing your stuff. That makes no sense. Priests are always stealing your stuff.
Yeah, but it's not taking it from the deck, and it's not taking it from the hand.
You get to pick it. It's almost it's not like...
But it's not taking it from play and putting it into play like other priest cards. It's putting it from play and shuffling into your deck.
It's still expensive.
It is expensive.
It's a risky card that you can use the Entomb. You can take the cards you want. You can get it shuffled into your deck, and you may never have time to play it.
Right, but the key to this card is really not so much that you might get it, but it's to deny your opponent. It's a denial card. So you get to deny your opponent.
Because it it takes the minion off of the playing field.
And it's also thwarting other mechanics. So Shaman can, you know, make it so that you kill their minion and it just comes back again. That can't happen because you're not killing it.
I still wouldn't put it in my priest deck. I think it's expensive.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. By keeping extra cards in your deck, it means you'll get to fatigue slower, and a lot of priest decks are designed to go long, so it'll help them avoid fatigue.
You've got things like a neutral card, like the Big Game Hunter. That's a 3 casting cost. Anybody can use it, and it destroys a minion with an attack of 7 or more. So if I'm looking to get rid of his minions. I'm just going to get rid of his minions.
Yeah, but
and pay a lot less.
You didn't hear what I just said.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you just said. I was looking at the card.
No, I said that there are things in this game that will bring back dead cards.
Oh.
You can't bring back a dead card if it's not dead. It's stolen.
I see. So, yes. Yeah, so, like, Kel'Thuzad would not work on that.
Exactly. Because you've stolen it. You've taken it out of his game completely. So they can't resurrect it with Kel'Thuzad or Resurrection or Reincarnate or any
this
of those things.
This is the truth. I see.
Again, limited use, you know, limited scope. I'm not a big fan of the card, but somebody's going to make a deck that makes good use of this. Somebody will. I'm sure they will.
Yep, yep. All right. So moving along, we have, I played with somebody's deck this week. Always ask for people to send me their decks to play with because I love playing with decks. Anyway, this one was sent to us by Kato, and it was a secret mage deck. It actually is. No, it's not a was. It is an is. It's a secret mage to combat the secret paladin. These are the cards. 2 mana worms, 2 frostbolt, 2 unstable portal, 1 mad scientist, 2 arcane intellect, 1 counterspell, 1 effigy, 2 icebreaker, 1 ice block, 2 mirror entity, 2 Kirantor mage, 2 fireball, 1 ethereal conjurer, 2 piloted shredders, 1 water elemental, 1 lothib, 2 sludge belchers, 1 Dr. Boom, 1 Ragnaros, and hold on, he had left a card out, 1 duplicate. So I played with the deck. And I had a lot of fun with it. It won 3 out of 5. And I know what the problem is, too. I played first against a paladin. I won it. I had something really fun happen. With this deck, somehow Avinia came out. She came out with 6 casting cost. I had a 7 in my hand. I then called out Dr. Boom. I destroyed the bombs by blasting the paladin. I then played duplicate to put Dr. Boom into my hand. Something happened where I wound up having 2 Dr. Booms come into my hand because I think I had I did something like reincarnate or something. I don't know. No, that's not a mage spell. Somehow 2 Dr. Booms were in my hand. 1 was on the board. I played my 2nd Dr. Boom. He knew I had 2 in my hand. Oh, that's the duplicate. Gives you 2. Dummy. See, I told you. I'm really off my game today. Anyway, he knew I had 2 Dr. Booms in my hand. Had the 1 on the board. The bombs were gone. And basically, when I played 1, he conceded. Because it was all over. Avinia and a Dr. Boom with a duplicate. I mean, that is the combination of a century. So that was a lot of fun. Won that one. Played to a mage. I lost horribly because he kept calling out this mage kept calling out these huge creatures. I mean, they were 6/7s, they were 8/8s, they were just way too big for me to handle. So I lost to that because my little mage deck just couldn't handle it. The lock, again, I'm learning to love duplicate because I had the lock just bowing to me because I was using cards to bait that I didn't want killed and then would put out the ones I wanted, duplicated them, and then boom, I was able to clear. So that one worked out well. The druid, I just won easily. The shaman, however, oh my god, it was a totem shaman. He totally annihilated me. And again, it was kind of the same problem that I had with the mage I went up against. He had so many things on the deck. This is a great deck to play, a lot of fun, but it has no clears. It didn't have Flamestrike, which is the 4 and, you know, 4 damage to all creatures, and it didn't have Blizzard, which is the 2 damage and freeze all creatures. So not having any kind of full board clear, while this is a really good working deck, the only thing I would have tweaked to it would be to have some sort of a full clear. Otherwise, as I said, I won 3 out of the 5, had a lot of fun playing it, got to really love the duplicate card. Duplicate. Hello, are you still there?
I'm listening. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, okay. So that was it.
Well, I'm glad
you
had fun.
So it was a secret mage. Yep. So, yep, folks, don't forget, send me your decks to play with, because I love playing with people's decks. Lastly, we have a letter. Do you want to read this one, or would you like me to? From Akila, who signed it a quilt this time.
Because he said the last time his autocorrect changed it.
Yes, so he's a quilt today.
To a quilt. Sure. Okay. I'm just getting his email up.
Yeah, but, and it's something worth discussing.
Yep, can I, while I'm getting that up, let me do two quick shout-outs.
Okay.
So first I want to shout out to our raid team, a worthy opponent on Airy... the Raidy Brunch on Airy Peak.
Raidy Brunch.
We downed Arkhamon this week for the first time, and now we've completed the entire expansion worth of raid bosses on normal, and we're pretty psyched. So to all of our raid members who listen to this show, which is probably two of them. Rob Gar and Jigsaw, probably. Grats, guys. It was great.
Good job.
The other thing is, I want to do a shout out to Ben and John from Azeroth Roundtable. It's a podcast about World of Warcraft. And I was on this past episode Friday night. I was with them in the studio. I actually was on video, which I was a little nervous about. But it was fun. It was a great conversation. And that's Azeroth Roundtable, if anybody's interested in that. But it's kind of been an interesting week. You know, lots of good stuff happening.
Yep.
So while I'm using my push to talk, it's thwarting my ability to call up my email. So, okay, here we go. So, this is from Makila. Dear AB, Ubi, and BL.
Ubi! AB, Ubi, and BL.
As we approach Easter, Ubi. Slowly and at a distance, we have to get through winter first. My thoughts turn increasingly to Easter eggs. I have often wondered if Blizzard have hidden some Easter eggs in Hearthstone, but I now sadly accept this is not the case. Because if it was, surely my recent game would have revealed one. I was playing Druid against a Facehunter. I had got off to a pretty good start, and the opponent was down to 5 health when out of a raptor popped an angry chicken. So, you know, those raptors that drop off their riders. Okay, so the angry chicken came off the raptor. My other card in play had 2 health when my opponent played a trap. My top decked card was Mark of the Wild, which I used to buff the angry chicken to 3 health. I triggered the explosive trap with my other minion, enraging the chicken to 8 attack, which then proceeded to peck my opponent to death. If killing an enemy with an enraged angry chicken does not unlock an achievement, nothing ever will. Best wishes to you and all listeners for the holiday season. I am in the U.S.
That is awesome.
It says he's in the U.S. in February and he's going to stop by and be in the chat room.
That'll be cool.
And then he signed it with his auto-corrected a quilt instead of, we know he's Akila. So thanks for the letter.
Yeah, he reminded me of stuff. He reminded me that at the very beginning, when we were all noobs in this game, I mean, I'm still a noob as a player, but I mean, when we were actually new to the game, there were little achievements. There were achievements for like winning your first 100 games or doing your first this amount of damage. I mean, there were maybe 5 or 10 achievements, I think, and then they just stopped.
In one of our early shows, we talked about all of them. That's because they're all meant to be things that happen early in the game to give you rewards. And they call them achievements. Everybody calls those things achievements.
And you can't look them up.
But unlike any other game that we've ever played, including some Blizzard games that have achievements, you can't look at a list and see it. Diablo, you could look up achievements. Warcraft, you could look up achievements. Some of the others you can't also, but there's no way to look these up. So technically they're achievements. Basically you get a gold reward. So I don't, using an achievement, the word achievement is using it lightly. But there's no clever little, oh, you did this really funny thing, here's an achievement.
So I would say he got a Play of the Week achievement.
Yeah. You got our admiration.
Yes.
For killing someone with an angry chicken.
With an angry chicken. Because we have angry chickens in our backyard.
Yes. They are very angry. They bite.
So that about wraps it up. Is there anything else you want to say this week?
I think I've spoken too much already.
Oh, never. All right. So next week we are going to discuss the cards that were awarded from the...
The
Hall of Explorers, yep. So there were quite a few cards that were awarded from the Hall of Explorers. Hopefully next week I can contribute a little bit more to it by having played it. I had some good quests already, so I'm already at like 350 gold. So hopefully that will continue and I can talk about it next week when we talk about the cards. I want to thank everybody who sent us emails. Thank you everybody who sent me decks to play with. I do have one or two still sitting around, so as usual... Folks, send me your decks. All right, so you can find us on awohearthstone.com or at Hollowsweet Media, and you can kind of browse around Hollowsweet Media. It's a beautiful website, hollowsweetmedia.com. They do have other podcasts that you might be interested in. You can find us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can find us on Twitch TV at /HollowSweet Media on Monday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, when you can watch our legendary Micmac, not that he reached legendary status in the game, but he's legendary to us as he plays Hearthstone. You can watch his games. You can email us at awhearthstone@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes and download us there. You can send us, your reviews, what you think of us, and we'll send you a shout out. You can find us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. You can listen to us on Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. And as usual, special thanks to Hollowsweet Media. Yes. Everybody, have a great week and happy hearthing.
Bye bye.
Of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Hollowsweet Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check hollowsweetmedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.